Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 50. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, reveal your word to us. Speak to us. Help us know you in a better way. Help us see Jesus in a better way. Lord, give us the faith to believe what we read, and give us the wisdom and discernment to know how does it apply to our lives, and what would you have us do based on what we see of you today. Lord, guide and direct us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, we read through verse 23, but I want to back up and begin with verse 22, because it really connects to what we will read today. So, Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 50. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. Oh, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Oh, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. and now something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came here from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through the arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they will go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." All right. Today, we continue looking at the story that started yesterday, where Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. And we also see a continuation of the story that's going to continue until the end of the Gospel of Matthew and the end of Christ's life and his time here on earth. The story of the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. It continues to increase. It continues to become stronger and stronger. Yesterday, it talked about how they plotted to kill him. And so we continue to see that. And he begins to speak out more openly against them. So let's look. He heals this man who could not speak, who could not see. And he casts out this demon, and the man is healed. He's able to talk and see. And some of the people watching say, "Oh, this must be the son of David. It's the Messiah, the one who was promised." But the Pharisees don't want to see it. They don't want to acknowledge who Jesus really is. For some reason, they have in their hearts that he is against them, that he is not the true Messiah, and they don't want to acknowledge who he is. And part of that is they know that if they acknowledge who he is, they have to do what he says. And some of them don't want to. They also know that if they acknowledge who he is, if they admit that he is the Messiah, that he then becomes even more important, and they become less important. You see, the Pharisees were in some ways part of the government. They may not have been the official Roman government, but within the Jewish community, it was the Pharisees that really had the power. They were the ones who were really in charge. They were the ones who were in control. And I think they were afraid of Jesus because he threatened their power. He threatened their control. That as people left them to follow Jesus, they were no longer following the Pharisees. They were no longer giving the Pharisees as much authority. And I think the Pharisees were afraid that if Jesus became more popular, that more and more people would start following him and that their influence would decrease, that their power would become less and less. It also has to do with the Roman government at the time. At this time, Israel is underneath the Roman authority. The Roman Empire had conquered Israel, and so they were actually in charge. But the Romans allowed smaller groups of communities and ethnic groups to control themselves as long as they submitted and surrendered to the Roman authority. And so while the Romans were the main people in charge in the ultimate highest government, underneath them, they allowed the different communities to kind of organize and work out their own problems on a daily basis. Now, the problem was, I think the Pharisees were probably afraid that if Jesus created turmoil and recreated an uprising, that they would rebel against the Romans. The Romans would come in and totally change all of that. They would take away the power that they had given to the communities, and that they would put their own people in charge, and then the Pharisees would have no authority and no power at all. So in many ways, this is a little bit political, and they see Jesus as a threat. But it is also spiritual, that for them, they have been the authority. They have been the one who teach people about God. And Jesus is now coming in, teaching something different. And they don't trust him. They're not listening to him. And their own blindness becomes more and more evident as they refuse to see that Jesus truly is from God. So, they actually say, oh, he's not from God. He's evil. He is from the devil. And it is by the devil's power that he is throwing out evil spirits. And Jesus challenges them. Jesus says, how can a devil fight against himself? It doesn't happen. And he challenges them and says, this doesn't happen. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so by saying that he is using the power of the devil, they are actually speaking against God, who is the one who actually gave him his power. And he says, this is unforgivable. To claim that something that God is doing is of the devil, this is a big problem. And it shows that your heart is not truly following God. And so then he talks about how a good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. And that because their hearts are evil, because they are not truly following God, but instead they are following their own rules, they are following their own ideas, and not listening to God, he's saying that their hearts are evil. And so then he compares it to different people. And first he talks about how everyone will have to give an account. And I wanted to talk about this. Because one day we are each going to die. But the Bible teaches that our soul does not end there. It's not like the Bible teaches that we don't die and everything stops and it's done. Instead, our bodies die, but our soul goes on to eternity, goes on to the spirit world, where it spends forever. But when it gets there, at some point, there will be a day of judgment, where we stand before God, and God looks at our lives and passes judgment. Now, there are two different types of judgment. First, there is the judgment of, have we accepted Jesus? Have we followed him? And if we have, then our souls are not kicked into hell, but are accepted into heaven. But if we have not followed Jesus, we will be cast out into hell. Those who have followed Jesus, even then there is still some judgment, not as to whether we will go to hell or not, but as to what kind of rewards will we get. Will we receive good rewards? Have we done things now to build up treasures in heaven, or have we wasted our lives here? And so Jesus says that we will give account for the words that we speak, not just for our actions, but for our very words. And so we need to be careful what we say. And this is convicting to me. This is challenging to me, because very often, even I say things that are not right, that are not appropriate. And I say things when I'm angry at somebody and then regret it. Or I say things without thinking, and then I need to apologize. I say something unkind. I say something that's not quite true. Whatever it is, God says that our very words will be judged. So we must be careful with what we say. Finally, he just talks about how at the end, during the judgment, other cultures or other people who in the past have been judged for their sin will stand up, and they will say to this generation that was seeing him, living with him, experiencing him, they will condemn them, saying, "Oh, if we had seen the things that you have seen, we would have believed. Why didn't you believe? The Pharisees, why aren't you following him? He is doing all these miracles. He's casting out demons. He is healing the sick. The dead are raised. He has shown who he is again and again, and still they are not following him." And the same thing still happens today. People read the Word of God, and they see again and again and again who Jesus is, but they choose not to believe. And I pray that as you go through life and as you go through the New Testament this year, I pray that this will not be you, that you will not be one who sees and hears the voice of God but chooses to ignore it. I pray that you will see and hear the voice of God and that you will choose to follow it, that you will choose to believe and choose to obey. Because that truly is what Jesus is seeking. And we see that in the very end, as he talks about those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And he's not saying, "Oh, I don't know my real earthly family." No, instead he's saying, there are other people who are also close to me. And to truly be my brother, you have to follow my Father who is in heaven. To truly be my part of my family, obedience is expected. And I think at this time, both history, church tradition, and parts of the Bible indicate that Jesus did have earthly brothers, that Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus. And during much of Jesus' earthly ministry, some of his brothers didn't really believe him. They didn't follow him. But it was only after he died and came back to life that they understood who he really was. It was only then that they truly understood. And his brothers then became Christians. They became followers of Jesus. And they actually became leaders in the early church. And so, but that was not because they were physically related, but because they followed Jesus and they followed God. That they did what God told them to do. And so what about you? Will you obey today? What is it that God is speaking to your heart about? Is it believing? Are you ready to believe and give your life to Jesus and give your life to becoming a follower of Christ? Is there something else that God is calling you to do? Will you listen and will you obey? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are the true God. Lord, I thank you that you are patient with us, that even when we don't get it right the first time, even when we hesitate to listen and obey, that so often you are patient and you give us time and you give us chances again and again. Lord, help us not to wear out that patience. Help us not to wait too long, but to accept and believe and follow. Lord, help us not be like the Pharisees, but help us to see what is true and accept it. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.